So, today we're here to do battle. Before we do battle, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to gather here today. Heavenly Father, as the message go forth, not only I ask that you open the hearts and minds of those who hear, open my heart and my mind so that I may hear as well. Lord, I ask that you reduce me and increase you so that they can see you and only you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You mind if I get in my work clothes? I did this for Pastor Mario so I can be nice and clean. But, y'all, I gotta be comfortable. Today's message is about God's roadmap. Before we begin, I have to get my disclaimers. Number one, Pastor Mario is coming back. He didn't leave. He didn't run away. Pastor Mario is looking for other schools for his son, and that's a hard job to do, but they're going to get it done, and we ask God's favor for him. So today we want to talk about God's roadmap. Bear with me as we go through this. I know that you are here for a reason. This message has been very difficult for me. I did not get any sleep last night. You're here. There's a reason you're here. And I know that the devil was putting up roadblocks so that I would not be able to give this message. I felt a little lightheaded in the seats, but I decided I was going to praise and give everything I got anyway. And I'm going to push through. So I'm asking that you pray for me as we go through, that the message is sent like God wants it, not me. When I was a kid, I was maybe 12 years old. My parents were deciding that we were going to go to Ohio. Ohio is a long, long trip. What they would do before going to Ohio is they would call AAA. Now, some of you young people don't know what AAA is. It's American Automotive Association. And basically, one of their little gigs is they will send you a map and show you the way to get to from point A to point B. There'd be a big circle in the city you start in, a big purple arrow to go all the way to, and then when you get to your target city, there you'd have it. And so sometimes periodically on the trip, my father would have to pull over on the side of the road to make sure that they're where they needed to be. And you had to fold the map and fold the map and fold the map, make sure you're on the right road. Some of the things they would do is kind of give you clues as to where restaurants were and hotels were. And so you had to be strategic in whether you're going to go the 24 hours it takes to drive to Ohio or you're going to stop somewhere in maybe Columbus to get some rest. Once you got to Cleveland, Ohio, which is where I was born, now we had to open up a whole nother map. This is the map of the city. And if you didn't know how to get there, this is what you had to do, and you had to look at this map. Now, I know I'm boring you to tears, you young people. I know I am, because you guys got that GPS on your phone, right? Yeah. You can just plug in what you need. Look, if you bypass a road, the GPS lady, she says, at your earliest convenience, please make a legal U-turn and return to the course I have set for you. Now, she doesn't get on all up on you and say, hey, you know, I told you to turn left. Yesterday, I was driving, and my wife told me to make a left-hand turn. I heard her say left-hand turn, but I wasn't clear as to the left-hand turn. I got nervous. I went straight. As you can imagine, my beautiful wife, she didn't have any attitude. Why are you laughing? But we finally got back on course. We got to where we needed to be. Today, I want to talk to you about the map that God has for your plan. The plan that God has for your life. And it starts on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. All right. we can go home now. I think that's self-explanatory, right? This will be the shortest message known to man. We're done. You can follow that word for word, right? Let's kind of unpack that a little bit. Have you noticed that Christians always telling you what you can and can't do? How dare you tell me to trust the Lord with all my heart? How dare you tell me to acknowledge him in all my ways? Isn't there a such thing as free will? Didn't God say you can do whatever? Didn't he say I can make up my own mind? Don't I have choices? Let's talk about that a little bit, because I think sometimes people misunderstand free will. I want to bring you to a scripture. It's Numbers 22. It's a wonderful story. It's a story of a holy man, a king, and the Israelites. Now, young people, I want to get your attention. Something spectacular is going to happen in this story. Something shocking is going to happen in this story. But at first, I have to give you the backstory on it. There was this king. I want to get his name correctly, so we'll go to Numbers 22. If you have it in your Bibles, if you don't, if you have your phones, you know, your gadgets, go right ahead. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Now, let me give you a little bit of backstory on that, okay? The Israelites were on their way. They were on the road. They were following the map that God had set for them. And like good people of God, they sent two messengers out and said, hey, can we please travel through your land? And the king of that land said, I don't think so. They were nice. They were polite. And then God said, these are my people. We're going to go where I said we're going to go. And he gave them that land. Now this king, Balak, heard about that. And he was afraid. They pitched their tents. And it said the Moabites were sore afraid. I want you to think back at the time when you were completely terrified. Every little noise, every little pop, everything, your muscles are tense. You're ready to jump out of your skin. You're just scared. Ladies and gentlemen, the people of God have a reputation, and it goes before you. We are known as conquerors. We are victorious. We are the head and not the tail. And so when you come in the presence of the enemy, or the enemy comes anywhere near you, they are sore afraid. And they come at you not, they don't come at you straight. They don't throw a fastball down the lane and you know it's coming. Oh no, there's a curve. There's a curve. That he's going to come at you in a way that you're not expecting. And you have to be prepared. And so the king got together with his elders. Elders are a great thing. They have a lot of information that you can use. And they talked to him and said, hey, there's this guy named Balaam. And I know he's a man of God. Let's tell him that there's some people that came from Egypt. And they are as far as the eye can see. And they are going to kill us. They're going to take our land. Let's ask him to curse them so that we can win. Now, when they went to Balaam, Balaam didn't know that these were the Israelites. He just knew that these were people that were right next to the Moabs, and they were set to kill them. And so he heard this message. He sent princes over there to him. He heard their message. Please curse these people, because I know who you are. If you curse someone, they're cursed. And if you bless someone, they're blessed. You see, that reputation stepped out. That reputation is out there. And so he says, hold up. Wait a minute. Let me go ahead and talk to God about this. Amen. Have a seat. So he goes into his quiet room and he says, say, God, these people come here. Let me check that. God said, who are these people? And he says, these people say that there are some people that came out of Egypt, and Their goal is to kill them, and he wants me to curse them. God knows his people. Amen. God knows you.
Amen.
His words to Balaam is, you will not curse these people because they are my blessed people.
Amen.
God knew. And so because Moab trusted in God, he went back and said, hey, you need to go back to where you came from, and you need to tell them, I am not going to curse these people. So you think that would be the end of it, right? I don't think so. So Balak says, I'm going to send some even more princes down that with more authority, and they're going to tell you, you're going to come here and do what I asked you to do. Jesus, and God said to Balaam, he said, if they come to you, then you can get up and leave with them. This is a pivotal part in this message. It's really important that you understand this. If they come to you, get up and go with them. So let me explain why this is pivotal. Everyone knows in my family that when I sleep, you can have a conversation with me and I will answer those questions appropriately, but I will not remember that conversation. My two boys know that there's a rule that if you're coming to ask me a question, Daddy has to stand. I have to get out of bed. I have to stand to answer the question. If you're not brave enough to get Daddy to stand, then the answer is always no. Don't ask that you know the answer is no. And so in this, he said, if the people come to you, then you can go. Otherwise, the answer is no. Do not go. What did Moab do? He's a child of God. Moab got up early in the morning, packed his bags, and went with him. God was not happy. Not at all. So let's talk. So here comes the shocking part. He gets up on this donkey. I'm going to call it a donkey, but the Bible calls it an ass. But for me, I'm going to call it a donkey. He gets up on his donkey, and he decides he's going to go with these princes. So he's riding down, just doing just fine, and the angel of the Lord got in the way. Sometimes we get so focused on our own goals, our own thoughts, our own processes that we don't see what's in front of us. And the angel of the Lord stood in front of him, and the donkey said, nope, went this way. Well, Balaam got upset. He started beating that donkey and beating that donkey and beating that donkey. He said, I told you to go here, and you're going to go here. So donkey said, okay, start going again. There was a wall on this side and a wall on this side, and that angel of the Lord stood between them. That donkey said, I don't think so. And he moves over and crushes Balaam's foot. So what did Balaam do? He beat him again. It's twice he got beat for following the leading of the Lord. All right. Then the donkey keeps going, and the angel of the Lord stopped where he could go right, he could not go right or left. And Balaam got upset because the donkey just fell to the ground. I'm not going another foot forward. And he began to beat on this donkey, beat on this donkey, beat on this donkey, until the Bible says the Lord opened up the donkey's mouth and he spoke, why did you beat me three times? Okay, folks, let me tell you something. In the Bible, the donkey is talking. Can you get, the donkey is talking. All right, that's not even the shocking part. The shocking part is Balaam talked back to him. I'm sorry. Look, when the donkey is talking, it is my turn to leave. I need to get up out of there. I have never seen a donkey talk. Something is going on. So the donkey talked. Balaam says, well, I needed you to go where I wanted you to go. God opened Balaam's eyes, and there was an angel. Well, let me see if I can get it right here. I want you to imagine Sammy Sosa, all right? He's at the bait. He's like this, and he's going to swing the sword. He was going to kill Balaam because Balaam did not follow what God asked him to do. Because the donkey obeyed, the donkey was not going to die. It speaks of that in the Bible. I was going to kill you, but I was going to save the donkey. Ladies and gentlemen, free will comes at a price. Yes. You have the choice to do what it is that you want to do. You have the right to do what it is that you want to do, but it comes at a price. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not some of it, all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Balaam was leaning to his own understanding. He saw a clear road. He felt like he was doing what God asked him to do, but he failed to listen to the small message that God put in there. If they come to you, then leave with them. Otherwise, stay put. When I talked to you earlier about a map, I talked to you when my parents got the map to go from Oklahoma to Ohio. I didn't tell you something that's very specific to reading maps. This is something most military people have to find out. The first and most important thing that you have to know is where you are. Now, okay, young folks, you got your GPS. It's going to ask you, where are you? It's going to ask you, can I use your current location? And if you say no, you're going to have to put in a start place. I know this. I'm up on it. You need to get your bearings. You need to look around and see what's around you. You have to be sure of where you are before you begin your trip. So spiritually, where are you? It says in the scriptures, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where you and I are. That's where you and I are. We are all sinners. Some of us are saved by grace. After you get your bearings, you have to orient the map. It does you no good to have your map upside down. It does you no good if the map is inside out. You are not going to go the right way. You must orient yourself to the map, meaning that you take the point where you are, and then you take the map that you have, and then you orient yourself to it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your map. When I was a kid, the maps that we would put our trust in was Rand McNally. The map that I'm asking you to put your trust in is the Holy Bible. Amen. You have to trust the map that you have. When it says, orient yourself to the map, there's a scripture, Psalms 139:23. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. That is a thorough search. That is a thorough search. It's looking at your mind. It's looking at your heart. Orient yourself to your map. The next thing is plot your course. Now, this is already done by AAA. This is already done by God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I have a plan for you. It's already in place. I had that plan for you before you were in the womb. I knew your name when you were in the womb. I knew your name before your parents knew your name, and I know the plan that I have for you. That plan is already in place. It's plotted. One of my children asked me a question. He said, Dad, how do I know right from wrong? And I said, well, you know, X number of years, I've told you what's right and wrong. And, you know, you should know what's right or wrong. Okay, so let's talk about it. We make a lot of excuses. We make a lot of concessions. We condone a lot of things that we have no business doing. And what that does, folks, is back in the 50s, we knew exactly what right and wrong was. There was a big black line that was right in the middle. And as we came to the 70s, that black line was still there. Came to the 80s, it started to smudge a little, and then came to the 90s, it's really gone. And these people who are millennials are having difficult times discerning what is right and what is wrong, because we have smudged that line. We can't tell what's right and we can't tell what's wrong. So that question I thought was just out of the way, but reading the scripture, it helped me understand that that line has been smudged, and our children are having difficult times making right choices because they don't know what's right, what's wrong, because people in Congress are saying this, people in the city are saying that, and these things are okay. How do we tell? How do we know that the Bible is absolutely right?
Amen.
There is a thing called GPS. It is the Holy Ghost. Let me read it to you so I can make sure you know that this is coming from the scripture. It's just not coming from me. This is John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So let me talk to you a little bit about the Holy Ghost. GPS stands for gentle persuader system. GPS stands for gentle provider. When God provides something for you, he will even do it in the face of your enemy. It says, thou preparest the table in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Note it, you're still in the presence of your enemies. God's children have a reputation to keep. God's children have a reputation.
Amen.
I heard a long time ago, and y'all forgive me, I heard represent your set. God has his kingdom set right for you. You need to represent God's kingdom.
Amen.
I wanted to, there's a couple of things that get me fired up. When you hear the Star Spangled Banner and whoever's singing hit that high note, I get the chills. When we sing Amazing Grace,
amen,
I get the chills.
Amen. Yes.
I'm going to tell you one other thing that gets me going. When I was a youth pastor, one of the young people in our church gave me something that has stuck with me forever. I asked the youth, can you tell me what scripture is important to you? Somebody says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I said, right. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I say, right. Brother Andrew Nava gave me a whole chapter. Psalms 91. And I'm going to go to it. Because this scripture gets me going. And the reason why it gets me going is because this is what the Holy Spirit helps you with. He is the consummate protector. Forgive me if I get a little crazy up here. Forgive me if I run out of breath up here, because this 16 verses get me going. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at the side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to give thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash their foot against a stone. Look. The angels are going to keep you protected so that even your toes aren't touched. Look here. Let me break it down. I didn't go to all 16, but let me break it down. Young people, this is talking about the power that God is going to give you. The power that you have that comes from on high. The Bible says that he will give you power to become the sons of God. If you are a son of the Most High, how much power do you have? You have a reputation. So when you come into the room, they'll say, oh, well, there's that Christian. Oh, we can't talk like that in front of them. Right. You don't have to say anything. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you a little bit about my dad. My dad never said a word, but his car was his pride and joy. No one ever came near his car. He never mentioned that to anybody. But there is a power within him that said, if you touch my car, you die. God says, if you touch my people, there are repercussions. There is power that comes. Let's talk about how you get that power. The Bible says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Look, God and the Holy Spirit can't come into your dwelling when it's dirty. And God's not asking you to get Molly Mae to get in there and clean it. But when you ask for forgiveness, Jesus goes in there and cleans house. And then when Jesus leaves, he brings the Comforter. Let me read that scripture real quick. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for I will not go away. The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit, folks. The Comforter comes once you are clean. You ask me, how do you tell right from wrong? You got a GPS in you, and it says, ding. I'm sorry, that's probably not the right way to go. Ding, I think you went a little too far. Why don't you go to the next stop and make a legal U-turn? Get back on the road. GPS is there to save your life. You want to know how to follow God's plan? You want to know how to do right from wrong? Ask God to come into your heart. Ask him to cleanse your soul. And then ask the Holy Spirit to come within. Once the Holy Spirit is within, that line becomes very, very clear. It's there to keep you out of trouble. There are some things that God doesn't want you to run into. There is an angel there to take names. He doesn't want you to run into that. You don't have a donkey that talks. And you can't see angels right away. But you have a GPS system in you that can keep you from doing what is wrong. And I promise you, there are many times that I have been rebuked by the Holy Spirit when I look at the wrong thing. Oh, you shouldn't be looking at that. It gives you a distaste. It gives you a distaste, and you're like, where did that come from? I used to like that. Where is that coming from? That is the power. All I want you to do is say yes. All God wants you to do is say yes. You want to get on the right road. You want to make heaven your home. All you have to do is say yes. How many want that Holy Ghost power? How many need that Holy Ghost power? A lot of times we talk about God, and a lot of times we talk about Jesus, but no one gives the Holy Spirit its due. And let me tell you, today is the reckoning. Today you have found out where your power comes. All he wants you to do is say yes. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him. That means with your finances. That means with your life. That means with your talent, your car, your personal items, your spiritual life, all, not some, acknowledge him. It means that you're giving God the honor, the glory, and the praise. At the end of every prayer, I try to make sure that I say that. If I missed it, God forgive me, but I do try to say, I will give you the honor and the glory and the praise, because that's what he's due. That's what he's due. I had a song, and this song means a lot to me. It talks about saying yes. And I just want you to listen to the words. I want you to close your eyes And I want you to visualize your destination. I know 100% of the people here want to go to heaven. I know it. 100% of the people want to go to heaven. And if you don't, you know, that's fine. I want to go. You know, God's funny. He puts me up here in a spot that I'm not comfortable in. He puts me in places that I am not comfortable in. But I'm going to do what is necessary. I'm going to follow the urging and the leading of the Holy Spirit to do what God asked me to do. And so I'm just going to say yes. All He wants you to do is say yes. If in your heart you feel like you want that Holy Ghost power, you want that do right, you want that GPS system in your life to let you know what's right and what's wrong, now is the time. Now is the time. Cool thing about it is you can do it right now. Cool thing about it, you can do it 5 minutes later. But those 5 minutes are not promised to you, folks. If you'll raise your hand, if this is something that you need in your life, let me tell you, let me change that. It is something you need in your life. This is something that you want. This is something that you choose. I ask that you raise your hand, and I'll pray with you. Cool thing about the Holy Spirit is He is a prayer partner. He can help you get your prayer through. There is no signal drop. There is no more, can you hear me now? Now is your time. Lord, I ask if there's someone here that has not yet chosen, that you extend your mercy and your grace so that when they're on their own, that the urging of the Spirit will grab a hold of them, Lord, and they can ask them, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much for not being fair. I thank you for that, because if it were fair, we would die in our sins. I thank you for what we received today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. We'll give you the honor, the glory, and the praise.